All right, you guys ready to talk office hours and questions?
Woohoo!
Thank you. That's not easy to do, by the way. Like, it makes me feel very emotional because I feel like you guys deserve so much better from me. And I let someone in a situation really steal my energy in a way that is not above the line. And it's because it's really triggering things in me around vulnerability and abuse and mean people. And that's just work I have to do. And my coach died last year, and I've been really busy with my kids and my life. And it just reminded me that I have to be accountable in the same way. It's got to work and it's got to feel good. And after that conversation, I didn't feel good and my team didn't feel good. And that's what I owe all of you. And that's what I owe my team. So I will leave it with that. But I care enough about you guys to want to set an example that I think is honorable and worthy. And that wasn't it. And I'm sorry. All right. And I'm going to let it go because that's what you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. If we have not built up enough trust equity to be imperfect, then shit, I don't know what else I can do. All right. Let us talk about all the awesomeness. Thank you guys so much. Nick, it's not necessary, but it's honest. And I'm the kind of person, I can't carry negative energy around with me. And I tried for a couple of months and that's what happened. So I just wanted to be honest with you guys about that, because that's the work that we're all doing together. You guys think I'm perfect and my life is amazing. It really, there's so much good stuff, but I still have kids and spouses and people and all the stuff in life. And we're all always going to have that, always. And it's, how do we sit in that space and really challenge ourselves to be as clear and as conscious as we possibly can? And that's what I love about this community. That's what we're about. So thank you guys very much for your grace. And I know you're not holding it against me, but that was really on my heart and I just needed to share it. So thank you. All right. Let's talk about, where you guys are going from here, right? Up and what is next? Onward and upward, as we like to say. So Teresa got some real clarity around what some conversations we might want to have. We have some just action items. We will have information on our partners. Again, if you want to connect, please feel free to reach out. We're going to have information on our partners in the inbox. You guys, these are amazing people. I mean this. These people would not be here if they're not amazing. We do not invite anybody for the sake of being here. The Candaces, the Megans, the Sess, the Taylors, the Steph Brunos, they're here because they're quality people, which is why I feel bad about not necessarily honoring all of their experiences as well. But we want to create all these opportunities for you to connect and engage. So you'll have information on that, your survey in your inbox. The book club is coming up. We're talking about Fascinate, which is a great marketing read. And then upcoming coaching calls. One of our alumni, Patrick King, who really worked for that first year. I mean, like worked, went through three different niches to ultimately come up with his niche and develop a really successful YouTube marketing channel. So I know, again, digital marketing is one of those areas that is really growing and evolving, and we want to bring you real life experiences. So Patrick's going to come and share how he's been marketing through YouTube. You can go watch his videos on YouTube in advance of that if you want to. You're going to find that they are not wildly expensive productions. They're Patrick standing in front of a wall recording a video. And then Kathy Curtis, who's one of our super successful alumni. She makes all the Investopedia lists, right? She's really big in the women's space, has done an incredible job of building a brand on social media and generating an audience and clients through that. So she's going to talk with us later that day as well. All right. Questions for today, slido.com/limitless. We'll dive into those. I'm going to open that up here with you. With that, I would love for everybody to drop into the chat your biggest question post-retreat. I can't promise we're going to get to all of them today, but we're going to get to as many of them as we can. I guess I should, at least Allison's like, put it in Slido. That's probably what she's going to tell me to say. Put it in Slido. Allison is amazing, by the way, Michelle. So I want you guys to know that we went to the honky tonk on Wednesday. Note to self, I go to bed at like 10 o'clock and the honky tonks don't start till late. But on Friday night, a bunch of us went out and then like we went to the Kid Rock place. And by the way, they only play rock music there. And rock music's awesome, by the way. But that is not what I went to Nashville for. So like at 10:30, we were like, this isn't working. So half of the group went back to the hotel and I was like, I'm not leaving this damn town until I get me some country music. And we found this little place called Laney's. I went up to a bouncer. I was like, where's the real country music in this town? And that dude, we were there till like 1:30 in the morning dancing our little set. Oh, it was so much fun. So note to self, right. Yeah. We'll tell you about the schedule for next year, but good time. All right. I'm giving you guys an opportunity to drop some stuff into Slido. Michael Hansen. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
What's your biggest question post-retreat?
I have to behave now. No, my biggest question is, I don't know if it's a really big question, because I think we got actually a lot of clarity, Pam and I, at the retreat. So I think it's really more down to the nitty gritty about how to actually take our vision and make it happen. So that's probably the biggest question.
So what's that next best step?
Next best step is basically just aligning our marketing so there's consistency across all platforms.
Okay. So Pam, from your point of view, what's your biggest question and or do you have clarity on your next best step?
I think we got a lot of clarity and working together on what our message is, unifying it, because we have two different niches. And so we want to make sure that the value statement is there at the front and forward, because we're doing marketing, but nothing was happening. They come to the website and then go, didn't work. So we're getting that. We've got a marketing team, branding team, a little PR gal out of Ukraine who's working her little tail off for us. And so we're getting that all succinct together and it's really making it actually move forward. So we're very excited about that. And then the takeaways, you know, how am I going to do? Michael's done videos and I have to step up and get my voice and my face on the website as well and do videos. So I'm committed to doing those. So, I mean, it was good. I mean, the clarity was great. For those of you who don't know, we have a joint business in two different styles of people, two different niches. So getting that to go together has been a challenge, but we're much further than we've ever been. And I'm hoping that by the end of this year, that door will be closed and we'll just be rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Well, and the fun thing about branding, we talked about this for a couple of days at Leaders. How many of you have ever cut a tomato? If you were in the branding session, we talked about this, but how many of you have ever cut a tomato with a dull knife? How's that go? It's messy and inefficient and right. And then what happens when you get like a really sharp knife and you cut that tomato? It's like effort, like that's the difference between inspired action and efforted action. And what you're here, Pam, saying for any of you that don't have a really defined niche or you're managing multiple niches on your website, your job is to find the sharpest message that you can that appeals to both your audiences. Remember seventh grade science? What was it? My science teacher was so good at this. Kinky people often find good sex somewhere. I'm 49 years old and I remember that kingdom, phylum, right? Kingdom, phylum, species, subspecies. Like, man, that is marketing right there. Like 49, I still remember that stuff.
That was not my science teacher.
Yeah, my science teacher was awesome. I also remember when, like, she was literally there when the space shuttle blew up and that was intense, but she was amazing. Like, she genuinely loved her work. And look, like, I literally at 49 years old remember that as a result. That's the magic of really being in flow of what you do. The goal with a website is to be so strikingly clear about who you are, who you serve, and the change that you can affect in their life that they can pretty quickly, 2 to 7 seconds, go, I'm curious or I'm not. Not I'm going to hire Paul or I'm not. Not I'm going to hire Kim or I'm not. Not going to, I'm hire Ethan or I'm not. Am I curious? Your challenge is to create enough curiosity that I want to take that next step. The next step on most websites, according to the research, is meet the team. Unless you have a strong call to action, a download, et cetera, in which case it should absolutely be the call to action because while the team is lovely, you actually want people to get information that gets them off the chair. So it's really about finding a brand message, going back to Kingdom Phylum. If you are 100% niched, it's really easy to get all the way down to kinky sex somewhere, right? Ding, 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 ding. If you have multiple niches, two or three or four, you have to go kingdom, fine. Like, what are the messages that are core? And then on that front page of the website, as quickly as possible, shift those people into the next step, which for them will be something targeted to their niche, a specialty page, testimonials or something, so that you can get them to the I get you as quickly as possible. And in that case, then you want to get them to ideally a customized download, right? Pam, women, business owners, you don't want to have the same generic download if you don't have to. So if you're interested in websites, right, post your stuff on Tribe. We've got some great web partners with a range of budgets depending on where you are. But it is a digital world, ladies and gentlemen. The most important thing that you can do is get clear, concise, and compelling in the message that you curate for your audience. It starts with your website. I haven't done a brochure in 15 years. Literally, I retired. And when I came back, nobody printed anything anymore. Why? Everybody's going to your website. That is your brochure. It's your proof of concept. It's your curiosity hook. And our job is to really make sure that we know who it's talking to, what we want to communicate to them in terms of the change that we're going to affect. So think kingdom, phyla, species, subspecies, order, kingdom, beyond, my goodness, right? Genus, sounds like it's pretty good. That's the goal, is how narrow can you get? And you can do incredibly effective marketing, by the way, three layers down with multiple audiences. I love niches. The more specialist you are, the faster we can grow you. Yes, 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 yes. But if you're not quite there, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that you can't be, right, you can't make progress or you can't be successful. It's how much kniving you want to do on your dang tomato. That's what it really boils down to. And if we're honest, it has a lot to do with your economics. If you can take that, right, Band-Aid risk, right, or, you know, rip off the Band-Aid or do it slowly. It has to do with your experience. Is your mindset telling you, oh my God, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever done, when we all know it's going to be the best thing you've ever done? And then how are you engaging? Are you prioritized? Do you have the right partners? Can you, right? Like, how are you actually working? I think very much to Mike and Pam situation, like, how are you going to sit down and say, how are we going to, right, circ up on this project and make sure that it gets done? So websites are just so incredibly powerful. Your COIs look at them. Your clients look at them. When they make referrals, their friends look at them. Like, if your website does not reflect, are you guys ready for this? The future that you came here to create, it needs some work. That does not mean you have to make that priority one at this moment, because it may not be the thing that's most hurting you. That's the evaluation part. But if I cannot go to your website and see who you are, right, who you serve, and the change that you're going to impact in 5 seconds, then you need to do some work on your website. And we walked through that in the website lesson. Taylor, we actually had Taylor, who, no joke, 4 years ago, did not have a great website and was listening to this lesson and is now coming back teaching it because he's like a brilliant marketing rock star. So we had a whole separate section where he just took some of your websites. I couldn't be in that session at the same time. It would have been super fun, but we let Taylor do it because he's awesome. And he just went through and broke some of your websites down. Great session to watch, because it's the same information. There are 5 basic calls to action that you want on every good website. You want a kick-ass headline. See, I said that with positive energy. Kick-ass headline. Who is it for? Does it move me? Does it get my attention? If it doesn't, it's not a kick-ass headline. 2, who's that for? In 2 seconds on that homepage, I should know who your clients are. If not, you've just got a dollar knife. What's the value prop? It might be functional, taxes, guardrails, et cetera. And for some clients, right, business owners, retirees, that might be why they think they're coming, and you're going to bridge the gap about long-term planning. Some of you are going to lead with why stuff. Taylor's got a very effective functional website. He's updating it to incorporate more of the why, the outcome, the promise that we talk so much about. It's got to have a lead gen. So many of your websites do not have a call to action besides call me. Call me, for being honest, is not a lead gen. Lead gen is, can I get your email in exchange for something that has value to me? A download. Taylor's got a free assessment on his website. Ben's got a, you know, the top 10 mistakes that retirees make. You guys worry about, like, it's got to be the most awesome sauce ever. It just has to be something that makes people download it in exchange for the email. so that you can then blog on them, video on them, love on them, and all, right? However you're going to do it, to be like, I'm so awesome, Sauce. Let me tell you about it. So that call to action, that lead gen, super important. And then ultimately proof of concept, usually on your second panel. It's your Forbes, your client testimonials, your investopedia, like what little bit of data can you put out there that tells people in their brains you're trustworthy and credible and you're not going to steal their money. Those are the five call to actions that are not complicated that you can all have on your website. Even if it's moderately it right now, you can go in very quickly and change your headline, change the tagline under it. You can add a call to action. Even without revamping the rest of your website, even if it's like all that stuff we talk about, do you know why? Because the research says that people never get to most of your website. They get to the homepage, the second panel, and your call to action if you're and your meet the team. And so we want to make sure that we're using those first seconds really effectively to put them where we want so that they can evaluate the information and decide, is there some action I want to take? Am I in looky-loo mode? That's going to show up in your analytics by people that visited the site, the time they spent on the site, and then the conversion, right, to your call to action or your phone calls. You're going to see the people that converted to your call to your lead gen, and you're going to see people that converted to call to action. You're going to get really consistent numbers over time. And we talked about how they're changing kind of the underlying tech rules so that all those cookies won't necessarily be there. So you want to gather all that data while you can. And ultimately, all you're going to be able to see is who comes to the website and then what did they do about it. And you're just going to want to continue to sharpen that knife. Because if you, we talked about this in the brand session. If we looked at your conversion data for all of you, I was talking with Lisa last week. She's like, yeah, we have 300 people a week visit the website. I'm like, where are 1,200 people a month coming from? It's ridiculously consistent. Okay, what's the conversion to write call to action, to write program? Like that's the data that you want to see because Jed, what happens if you just went, you guys ready for this? What if you just went from 1% conversion to 2%? What would that mean? Because what we don't know, what you can't really effectively track outside of just that broad data is the number of people that visit and the number of people that click on something. That's usually like 90% of the people. They're not all the right clients. Your lead gen, if it's general, is bringing the wrong people to the website. So you should, as you get more and more refined in your lead gen marketing, your COI marketing, et cetera, you should see that gap narrow. Because more and more of the right people are visiting your website, if that makes sense. But if Jed went from a 1% to a 2% conversion on 50 people that visited website and he got two leads and he went to four leads a week or a month, what would that mean to his revenue? Like, so we get all like, oh, I got to do all this shiny stuff. And I'm like, how about we just take the step we're doing and we just spend a little bit of energy getting better at it. So that's why websites are not just pretty pictures and nice words. They are stories that you're telling to the marketplace, and stories activate seven centers of the brain. They're the most compelling marketing tool that we have, and we're not leveraging them most of the time. So if you can really build that story to fit your client and your model practice, that's the work. Then you can start to look at that data, Pam and Mike and the rest of you, and look at those analytics and see if it's working. And if it is, you just keep tightening, right? You try different calls to actions and downloads. You do webinars or blogs or, and then it becomes, right, tweaking and refining to really make it fit your audience and your goals. So Pam, Mike, I know you guys are going through that process, but I wanted to take a little bit of time because I know so many of the rest of you have websites. Everyone here, I think, has one, right? And then depending on the quality of that, that's the challenge is, are you in a place? And then the next level of website, we want to have a lot of fun, is to really build your lead gen, your sales funnel into the website. So that when someone says, yes, I'm interested, there's just a quiz, right? Or a series of questions they go through and they self-select. Again, you're going to do it in nice languaging. You're going to be super classy about it. And at the end, they're going to know up or out, like here's some resources, here are some places we'd love to send you, or hey, we'd love to schedule a call, click here. And so you can take 90% of that process and literally streamline it so that you're not actually talking to a person unless they have raised their hand and said, I've done the work and I think I do actually want to talk to you. And that's how you get to the 80% close rate. Because when you put the sales process in place after that, it is inevitable that they are going to move up or out very quickly because you've done so much in lead gen. You've now done it on the website, ideally with a funnel. And again, that funnel could be personal. I sat in a practice and just had those phone calls a lot, right? There was no digital funnel. I had to do it. So if you've got people, it's still great. And then that fourth piece is right on, you know, going through the sales process and onboarding them, which we talk a lot about. All right, let's see. Danny and Slido, how do you protect your best clients, economically speaking, from being disenfranchised as you focus shifts and do a niche or net that they're not else you're part of? Great question, Danny. Step one, you're not going to send them all a letter that says we're not about you anymore. That's not really the goal. So for all of you, how often do your clients actually go to your websites? Not that often. Like genuinely not that often. Adam's gone through this. Tanya's gone through this, right? Most of Limitless coaches have gone through this at some point, which is one, you make the decision. Two, you update the website for the future, not the past. And then you have a really honest conversation with your clients because we don't need to hide it, that says, hey, we have so enjoyed working with you over the years and we continue to honor and appreciate that relationship. And in the last couple of years, we've had a number of widows, retirees, business owners, you know, tech execs with RSUs reach out to us. And as a result of that, we've developed a really specific specialty. And we find that we really love working with these clients and we can add a ton of value. And we really want to specialize our practice there. We're going to maintain our relationship. We value and appreciate you. Like nothing's going to change for you. And as we go forward, you're just going to see the marketing focus on that. Planning is planning. It's all good, right? Have a meeting, write a letter. We've done it 100 and a zillion times. You might have, I'm not going to lie, one or two clients who are like, are you going to fire me? And you're like, so this is why you have to get really clear. What is that strategy? Because you don't want to say no and then go back to them 6 months later. So again, it really depends on your economics. If you're at rent and ramen and you can, right, expedite yourself to that transition, it's a little bit easier. And you don't have to. I think Adam still has like 27 clients that are general clients that his service advisor manages. And that became the income engine, by the way. That revenue is what, that was a very specific decision for him. Instead of jettisoning those clients, he would, right, bring in a service advisor to service them so they could get the consistency and the quality of the attention they deserved. And he would use that revenue to then fund that income engine to serve, right, to create leverage for him and the rest of the clients. If you don't want a service advisor, that's not a great strategy, right? You can find very effective ways to support and transition those clients in a way that leaves you and them feeling like you're acting from a place of integrity and character. And that's always what the breakdown is. Sorry, that was from Doug, Allison said. So do you guys have questions about how many, has anyone else can share? I know many of you have gone through the process of narrowing your niche a bit, having some of those conversations with clients. Is there anyone on the line that wants to share a little bit about their experience going through that?
Well, I'm about to go through it. And I think what you say about clients don't go to your website is very true. So my approach is going to be those clients who will see outreach to the niche, who don't fit into the niche, particularly on LinkedIn. I'll probably call those people or have direct contact with those people. And or as part of a check-in call, I'll say, hey, you'll likely see a few things on LinkedIn referencing gray divorces. Just know that this is the future orientation of my practice, but 100% of my commitment is still to my existing clients.
Yeah, people generally get marketing. And again, if one or two people are like, hey, Adam's had one or two people since he made that transition come and say, hey, this doesn't feel like a perfect fit anymore, but he's brought on 20 or 30 clients on the other side of that, that's okay. So it's about how you put kind of a cocoon or a container strategy around those clients and message it as you're creating more of that specialty and focus. And either that really works or very slowly over time, right? They'll ease themselves or you will ease them out. It's not nearly as big an event as we tend to play.
It isn't. And I'm convinced because I've asked the question twice and I've seen other people ask the question. It's probably one of the most asked questions. It stems from a limiting belief. It stems from an idea of scarcity. Yeah. And it stems from the fear of not going all in. And I don't know And I tell myself this because we've had this conversation that, you know, enough people have shown that it works. It works. Just go all in and do it. And, you know, you mentioned at the conference, what does growth mean? And, you know, you said, what does growth mean to you? And I thought about that a lot. And I determined that what growth means to me is freedom from the regret of not having tried, of not having put that best effort forward.
Yeah, we have this idea of what we want to create, but those voices in our head are genuinely pummeling and peppering us constantly with the can't and the shouldn't and the don't know how. And that's what we're in this community to do, is to really counter and challenge that with curiosity and consciousness, right? And catalyst for growth. And Adam will tell you, you know, like, we've done this hundreds and hundreds of times, and it doesn't mean, you know, there's never one or two clients, but in general, it is so much less of an event than we make it out to be, because we genuinely in our heart of hearts believe that our clients are going to hear us saying, we're too good for you now, and we've outgrown you.
And that's part of
nobody on this call wants to be that person. Like, right, you're not here.
Yeah,
because
but
you're
no
that kind of person.
There's no perfect solution. And as you put forward at the conference, and Adam mentioned several times, growth is messy. You may have one or two people who do that, but it's part of the process.
And that's the hard part. We really do try to organize it in a relationship service, heart-centered business, so that nobody is ever upset with us ever, because we don't like that. And that is the hardest work of all, is can we sit through the lens of a business case, not a business case in the greedy grubber sense, a business case in the sense of a business always has, by definition, multiple stakeholders. And in service firms, particularly financial planning, right? Because those of you who are service oriented are trying really hard not to be jalopy salespeople. Our orientation is to overservice, right? Undercharge, do too much for too little for too long, because we're so afraid of being those other people. And the problem is it really disrespects the other stakeholders who are valid in the process, our team, right? The rest of our clients. How many times have we talked about, would we want to go to our clients and say, wow, I really feel in my heart of hearts like I could have done a better job, but I've been doing my best to keep up with everything, but it'll be okay in the end. Like, no, we wouldn't feel great about that. And so we really do want to sit in a space of, how do we start to pull the levers in the business, even when they're uncomfortable, Andrew, to say, how can I genuinely be of best service to the group of people that I make that commitment to? Because that feels really, really amazing when you do it. And you guys know that. So if you're going through a transition, the question to really ask yourself is, am I going to rip off the Band-Aid? You know, if, again, economics, experience, and engagement allow for that, mindset being a huge part of it. Two, do I need a staged transition, right? Oftentimes, we will build transition strategies when the economics aren't right, so awesome that we can just afford to, right, cut off a portion of the client base, where we basically stay level for some period of time. Hey, for every $5,000 in clients we bring on, we're going to do that transition conversation with rate 5,000 in potential revenue. Hey, this is the new model. You can pay at a higher fee. We can refer you elsewhere, right? Here's some lower cost resources if you want them. And that way you won't necessarily grow in terms of the current clients, but you'll maintain revenue and improve your margin and your time capacity every single time, right? Because you're trading low margin work for higher margin work. And ultimately, when you replace those 10 or 20 clients, you'll have more revenue and more margin, which then creates lift for you to go, right? And then grow the firm beyond that. So it's really a function, as you guys manifest these changes, what's your roadmap, which is why we get even really more excited about, right? Being able to partner with you a little bit more closely in the next year is, what are the levers that you really need to pull as you think about retreat? Growth retreat is all about the sexy, sizzly stuff. Everybody loves it. But the underlying foundation isn't the sexy, sizzly stuff. It's, who am I doing the sexy, sizzly stuff for? How much work am I doing in exchange for the fee, services, and capacity? And how much margin am I able to remove out of that, right? My efficiency and effectiveness as a business owner. That's the business case. And I think we are as loving and respectful and client-centric as you can humanly be while recognizing that you're not nonprofits. And that's the thing. Let's just get you so successful that you can donate a bunch of time and a bunch of money in places that you feel good about, but let's not pretend that our business clients, right, that our nonprofit clients are business clients. Like, let's just not do that. And so that's where the client profitability analysis tool, if you guys have not done that, is a really wonderful exercise to go through, because it will, in very simple terms, tell you if you need to do any right sizing of the client base. It shows you the relationship between revenue. As a business, this is the only variable you care about. As humans, there's a lot more that goes into it, brands and culture. One, what's my revenue? Two, what are my services / capacity, right? What do I have to do in exchange for that revenue? Three, what's my margin? So how much you make minus everything in the middle equals what you end up with. And we just, as advisors, don't tend to, from that place of service and doing our best, don't have a lot of structure about that middle piece. Who are we serving? How many? What type? What are the fees? What services are they getting? You guys have heard us talk a ton about that. When you put those structures in place, that's where you can provide that deeper value even more efficiently. All right, let's see. Social media currently punishes you if you don't send people off their platform. LinkedIn, how do you drive to website? Let's see, I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find that question here on LinkedIn. Highest rated question at the moment. Danny, can you recommend a third-party partner to provide guidance on where to begin for podcasting and video other than FICOM? That's a great question. Practice. FICOM is our go-to resource because they have really great video and podcasting course. We have a lesson in the library on video and on podcasting from them, me, Adam, and Taylor over time. I would go there. And then I would really look at, what do you want to do, Danny, in terms of, like, video and podcasting aren't the same thing. Is it one or both?
I want to do a video blog and then have it repurposed to a podcast and to a blog.
So you have a couple options. One, you can DIY. FICOS did, I think, a lesson this year, but I think last year also a lesson on, right, how to get yourself set up for video. They do have a video course. If you Google video courses, I'm sure there are more out there. It really comes with, get your camera setups, your lighting, et cetera, which I know we've covered in those lessons. And two, what's your content plan? Who's your audience and what do you want to say to them? So whether it's a podcast or a blog or video, it's about your content outline. There are lots of ways to come up with those. Go look at other people's podcasts and blogs and videos. Do not blatantly rip them off. Get a general idea, right? And then come up with your own version of that. That's a really good place to start. Clients, literally every time clients ask you a question, if they ask you three times, you turn it into a blog, a video, or something else. Like, that's just the rule. And then, Danny, what you ultimately want to do is get on a cadence, depending on the frequency of what you're doing, right? A podcast cadence will be different than a blog cadence, which is, what's your system for just putting that in place? Do you sit down every Monday morning for an hour and record three videos, right? Do you have every Tuesday for, one Tuesday a month, you do loads of podcasts? So one, it's about getting yourself just the format set up, right? If it's a blog, it's going to be on your website, podcast, so you've got some web work there, et cetera. Marketing, how are you going to share this with people? And then once you've got that piece, it's, what's your content plan? What are you going to talk about and how frequently? And then, right, building the systems on the back end to make sure you're managing your time and efficiency. So FICOM does have some great resources there. We've got some resources there that are wildly free. So I would always start with the free ones. And you've also got loads of people in the community. Patrick's going to come talk about YouTube. So I do a post on Tribe and just ask if anyone's met with great success around video. Obviously, Adam Taylor and others are doing great on podcasts. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what's your follow-up question as you hear me talk about that?
My follow-up question would be, I basically looked at Search for Retirement in the podcast, and there's like tons of retirement podcasts. So the next question for me, well, how do I differentiate myself from all these other ones? And, I have an idea. I work exclusively with retirees, and I do financial life planning. So I really want to talk more about kind of personal growth, spiritual growth, and how to live the best life in retirement in addition to all the finance.
So for you, it's really about retirement planning for people who want to get even more out of retirement.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's the core messaging. And then, like, you can have so many conversations around that. So what I always say is, like, put your client in the middle and think about the wheel of life.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Where are they going? Hobbies, vacation, every one of those things is a conversation that you have permission to have. And Danny, by the way, there are lots of retirement podcasts. There's going to be 5X number of retirement podcasts in 5 years. And it's still a teeny, tiny, teeny, tiny piece of the market overall, because it's really about, no different than a planning firm, are you the person in front of them when they decide to listen to your podcast? Is it your social media ad or your blog or your client testimonials on the website, or right, you're speaking somewhere that makes them go, ooh, that would be an interesting podcast. Your market, Danny, is not on, in general, random people going, ooh, retirement podcast. You'll pick up people that way. But the lift that you'll see in your community will largely come from, right, the branded marketing that you do to drive the blog or the podcast to support your lead gen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, the more specific your messaging, the more effective it will be.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, a follow up to that, which I also asked in the chat was, before I do any particular marketing plan, I do want to send a survey to my clients to get a really good understanding of what kind of content they want to see, what they're interested in, and what platforms they want to consume that on. And also just give me feedback, is anything I can do better. Is there any, I looked on the Limitless Library, I didn't see any kind of templated surveys or anything like that. Do you have any guidance?
There's we're working on this for next year. It's a naming thing. So Tiffany did a lesson just at retreat on the client advisory board. Okay. We have recorded versions of it. And there's one, it's a client interview.
We didn't record that version, or we didn't record that lesson, the client advisory board. Okay. But we have talked about doing it as a tribe talk, because I think it was really excellent content if we have interest on that.
Yeah, and we've done the client interview, Allison? Is that what we call it in the library? There's a whole lesson and like a set of questions where I think it's called client interview, Danny. Look it up. If not, let us know. We'll help you find it. We'll and it's about going to your clients and saying, I'd like to learn a little bit about you. Could I ask you some questions? Yep. And I think very much to that point, it's amazing if you go to your 5 or 10 favorite clients and say, hey, we want to do more awesome work with people like you. And we're putting together a strategy, and we just kind of know, like, what kind of content do you consume online? Where do you consume it? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you not on LinkedIn? Do you talk to your CPA? Do you talk to your friends? Because that will sort of emerge some themes. And then like, hey, when you think about this stuff, and you have to be honest, like, hey, if we were sending you a blog every week talking about stuff or once a month, what kind of stuff are we missing that you'd like for us to be talking to you about? And they'll be like, oh, well, Danny, it'd be really great if you could send us, you know, this or that once in a while. Like, okay, great. Thanks for letting me know. So those conversations are really powerful. I know, Danny, we do. I know we have resources. There's a lot in there. I can't say that I have the name of everyone in the memories perfectly. But I know that we have a whole client interview process and questions in there. So just look up client interview. If you can't find us, let us know.
I got it. Got the link already. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Patrick Ortman, are you there? How do you prevent the website from being a never-ending project? Do you want the honest answer?
Yes.
You don't. Yeah. Because website is your front door now. When was the last time that someone walked into your office and said, hey, I want to hire a financial advisor?
Yeah, but when it comes to your office, like a physical office, you're not constantly renovating. But with the website, it feels like every 3 to 6 months, there's something that I want to reconfigure. Or the website just being an example of just the whole onboarding process. And at the end of the day, if I'm building a small practice, it's not like I'm trying to build a lead gen system that's going to get me 20 clients a month. It's not anything I've capacity for anyway. So
here's what I'll say. There's maintenance, right? And then there's like mapping what's next. So your maintenance is going to be, you should be looking at your Google Analytics each month, and you should be using that information to determine if there's anything that you might want to be. You could do it quarterly, by the way, if your lead, you know, if your revenue and your pipeline is where you want it to be. But it's about what's your system for looking at that data, because data is just there to tell you a story. That's it. Our job is to look at the data and discern the story that it's gonna tell us. If you're constantly updating a website, like, you should not necessarily need to be versioning your website every 3 to 6 months. So you should be looking at it through the lens of, does it tell the right story to the right people in the right way, right? Go see branding and website lessons. And then once that update is done and the call to action is working, you should be looking at it, right? That data weekly, monthly, quarterly, depending on your cadence, and then using that to refine the website but you shouldn't need to be. So when you say like revising it every 3 to 6 months, what do you mean by revising? Are you like rewriting the copy? Or are you just changing a couple things? Like, what are you trying to solve for?
Everything from tweaking the copy on a page to adding, you know, add a video, you know, change the intake forms or questions that you give respective client, like lots of little things like that, that are not nothing, but they're not like a total revamp either.
No. And that's where, when you do that first launch of a website or those iterative launches, you might really be spending more time and energy on it the first year. It's not necessarily and shouldn't be a set it and forget it strategy. And most advisors' websites, if we're really honest, are set it and forget it strategies. I built the website. I've never looked at my Google Analytics. The phone rings or it doesn't ring. My overall numbers are okay or not okay. And we don't really look at our website through the lens of it really is the front door that people knock on in the absence of right physical offices. People literally go to your website to decide if they're going to make contact with you. I mean, that's just that, whether it's a blog or a podcast or a referral or a best friend. They're always like 99.9% of the time they're going to go to the website. So the question that I would ask is, yes, you should be looking at it on a consistent basis and maybe tweaking, but you shouldn't necessarily be updating the copy and everything every 3 to 6 months unless it's not really hitting. In which case, if that's really persistent, we might just want to look at it and say, hey, is it hitting those 5 best practices that we talked about? And can we tweak those to see if we could really reduce the kind of the drag on that ship, if that makes sense? So yes, you should be looking at it on an ongoing basis, because it's like basically if you had a house and people were walking down the street and deciding whether they wanted to talk with you based on your house, would you want your front yard to be neat and tidy and your house to be clean, or would you want it to look like an overgrown mess? You'd want it to be neat and tidy. And so that's why those website lessons are so valuable. So, right, Patrick, it's like, let's look at that. Are you hitting those 5 best practices? And then are there near-term tweaks that you can make, and then monitor that? Because tweaks are cool, but they're only valuable if we're using them within the context of the data and we know that we're actually improving our performance. Otherwise, you're doing this very random instinct level change based on what you're feeling at the time. And that's the part we want to kind of minimize and make sure we're getting a little bit more scientific about it, if that makes sense. Does that help?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. And if you need help with that, let me know. I love websites. They're very important. Terry has a great question. What's the easiest, most succinct way for me to uncover my why? That was a Candace question. Terry, you there?
I'm here.
Where are you with your why? Like, if you had to answer that question right now, and then how would you share? Like, if you're right talking with your friends, what's stuck in you?
I feel like it's not succinct. I feel like it's like too involved.
Okay.
So
do you want to share it with us?
I was looking at, you know, the why, and then the, you know, what we do, what's the change we want them to have, and who do we do it for? I think I'm very clear on the who do we do it for. I know that. And I think the change, I feel like I'm probably 95% of the way where I want to be with that. But with the why, I'm really struggling. I look at what is it that I love about the business, and why am I here? Like, why am I in this world with this business? And for me, it's, I love helping people. I really am passionate about seeing somebody go from a place where they're scared, they're nervous, they're totally uncertain, and just making life very simple for them so that they can go step by step and feel really confident in their money decisions.
Okay. Who are your ideal clients?
Gen X professional or entrepreneurial women that are going through a change that is, you know, kind of making them really assess their finances. Usually it's some sort of a liquidation or a lump sum windfall situation.
So it's so easy for us to get stuck on the what we call the what or the how. Hey, we do financial planning, or we do it this way or that way. getting to the why is sometimes the hardest work that we can do, because it's squishy around the edges, it's ambiguous. And at the end, we all kind of provide clarity, confidence, control, peace of mind, right? A path to retirement, like wah, 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 how do we make it different? And we only need 50 to 150 clients to be wildly successful. So we just have to find a way that when they hear it, they get, right, whether it's Teresa's clients or Patrick's, they get that really sharp knife of, you see me, you hear me, and understand me. So your clients are those Gen Xers, right? So this is true pretty much of everyone, but it's how do you speak to it? What's their emotional state when they come to you?
Usually it's confusion and fear.
Right. Right. And why would they want to solve for that?
Because being confused and fearful is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they know that this is something that I've heard many times, that when they come to me, they have this opportunity. Maybe it's it's some sort of a windfall, whether they're getting a divorce and they have a lump sum payout. There's something involved there. And they know they don't have a second chance to get it right. They feel very strongly that I can't screw this up. I have to get it right the first time.
So for all of you, and this, by the way, is pretty true for retirees and business owners and women in transition, the reason that people go get planners is because they don't know and they don't want to mess it up. That's why the whole, can I count on you, is the biggest question you can ask, even beyond, do I have enough money? Because you're not in charge of whether they do or not. You're definitely in charge of whether they can count on you to keep them informed, keep them aware, make sure that they, even if it's they're going to run out of money, they know long before that it's going to happen, right? Can you sit in that space? So then we've got the why, the feely part of the why, and then we've got the functional part of the why. So here's what I heard Teresa say, understanding her audience wants to not screw it up. They still have a long runway, right? They're not retiring tomorrow per se. So I heard her say something that essentially says, we've got a step-by-step process for helping insert right clients here, make smart money decisions. That's your functional why. That does not mean you put all those words on the website, Teresa. So all whys, all brands have substance. It's relevant. Is that relevant to Teresa's audience? Yes, it is. Is it sticky? No. Nobody goes, ooh, I need some of that. Oh, I want to wake up and have a step-by-step financial planning process for me. Like, no one wakes up and wants that. They just wake up and go, oh, I want this feeling to go away. I have questions and I want answers. I have confusion and I want clarity. That's the from and to state that you all are ultimately selling. I can get you from here to here. You can do that functionally. Hey, a simple step-by-step process to help Gen Xers, right? Get the financial guidance they need to make smart money decisions. Or it could be, so that's a fear-based, right? Functional decision. The feeling version of that is always aspirational. We never lead with don't lose it all. That's not inspiring, right? We lead with, right? So you talked about optimizing, opportunity to optimize, right? So that's your, some version of that is the feeling why, right? Like you're going to make more of your financial life. And then the question is always, why do people want to do that? Why would they spend money? What are they going to get out of it that they would actually pay for? If you said to them, hey, I'm going to give you this, there's a 90% probability that if you follow my advice, we're going to get there, would they do it? So for us, it was, would you like $1 million 100-day off practice? That's the functional version. The aspirational version is a wildly successful business and life that you love. The aspirational version is much more an open to interpretation. Mary's version of a wildly successful business is different than Teresa's, is different than Julie's. $1 million, 100 day off is an anchor concept. So your brain goes, like it, don't like it. Yep, I want to know more about that. And then there's always like a year version of success. It might be 500,000. It might be this. It's literally just something that says, this is possible. Are you interested? So again, for each of you, it's very similar, but it's for your clients, your voice, and your brand. What's your market position? If you're the friendly firm, you're probably not going to lead with a step-by-step process because that's really functional, right? If you're the friendly firm, you might say a trusted partner to hold your hand through. Same concept, different languaging. And that's where we want to look at who's the client. What emotional state are they coming to us in? Are they like, I'm retiring, I got some tax issues, I need to deal with that, keep as much money out of Uncle Sam's pocket as possible? Going to lead with a functional message. if they're really coming to you going, oh my God, retirement's so confusing, I just don't even know, I don't have, like, then you're going to lead with more of those why messages. Your brand's always going to include both. That's why you get websites. But what we know is they're only going to spend like 7 seconds on like four pages, right? Four spots on your website. So you want to be really clear about what, why you want to lead with, right? So on a website, you might take that core brand and it might be, right? Like, what's the number one thing that your clients would love to accomplish that they can't, that they don't think they could accomplish without you? When you think about all those conversations.
Clarity.
Clarity, right?
That's the thing that I hear over and over again.
So we can build a message around clarity.
And clarity, I think my tagline on my website is clarity is the first step to financial freedom.
Right. So that's super relevant substance, not sticky. Just being honest, right? So that's where, again, because you have 1.5 seconds, according to the brain research, for their brain to be, and of course, people are people, right? We like sticky, sexy messages. And so that's where you want to take the core of that message that's really working and just refine a little bit to say, right, finally a financial partner that can turn your questions into clarity. Like, bam, am I selling everything I've ever done? Am I selling everything Teresa can do? Nope. But I added finally, by the way, because what's the emotional state that she shared with me? They're just to hear, like, just I'm done. I just want to know. Finally implies you've landed. We got whatever you're looking for. You've hit it. Right or wrong is going to be the rest of the sentence. And that's their job, right? Not yours, Teresa. But finally is a very specific word that says, pay attention. We think we have the answer. So again, I'm making this up on the fly, right? We would look at your overall brand and right, kingdom file. Like, how does everything really follow a narrow line so that if your market position is the friendly firm, it's going to be, the next line might be something like, finally, right, a partner you can count on to turn those great questions of company complexions into a questions into clarity, complexity into a clear path, you know, uncertainty into, you know, I'm making it up, right? I love alliteration. I can't find a U word right now. Uncertainty, unparalleled, you know, uncertainty that turns into unparalleled clarity, like whatever. Like in 7 seconds, you guys, if I'm her client, am I going to at least want to know more? Yes or no? Now you get permission to talk about the what and the how. Oh, here's a download. Here are the 7 questions that, right, Gen Xers have, you know, to really not mess it up. So when you think about your brand, it's not just, hey, am I getting the message right? It's, am I massaging that message in a way that my audience can best hear it? And that, quite honestly, is the work. Some people are really natural at that. Some people have to work at it. That's why there are firms out there that do it. But you don't have to go spend $25,000 to just do a little work to come up with a slightly better headline, to add some proof of concept, right? To just be really clear about what's the value prop, what are the one thing or the 3 things they're going to get after working with you. And we love to put all our processes in deep detail on the websites. And that's cool from a proof of concept point. Do you know what the research says about the number of people who spend time on those pages?
Probably zero.
Very little, very little. I was on a website yesterday. I was on YouTube doing something and a thing popped up. Brilliant marketing. You guys look it up. It's a thing called Lumen. It's so you guys want to take a second look at it together? And I can tell, like, do you guys want to do that?
Yes. All right,
so let's check this out. Let's go to this website. Let's see if I can find it. Lumen.com. And it's a device that basically hacks your metabolism. Let's see. Let me see. Lumen hack metabolism. Here we go. So I'm going to share my screen with you.
Is that L-U-M-I-N?
It's L-U-M-E-N.M-E, which is why it was hard to find. So the first thing I would do to tell them to come up with a better web address, but that's a whole separate conversation. All right, can you guys see my screen? Do you see Slido or Lumen?
I see Lumen.
Okay. So on the web, on the YouTube version, the ad said, here you go, the first device to hack your metabolism. Oh shit, you have my attention. Am I a 49-year-old woman who might want to lose 5 or 10 pounds? Yes, I am. did I run this? I'm like, oh, what is that? Gigantic, bold headline. How many words are on this page? There's their call to action. Look at that. Going to give you every opportunity to buy this product. The first device to hack your metabolism. Their market position is new and better. So anyone that's progressive, forward thinking, right? Those people that are like, I'm never going to change. Those people are not checking this website out. I am not those people. I was like, ooh. Do you guys hear me talk about we help so that they can benefit one, benefit two, and benefit three? What do you see right here ever so conveniently? Enhance fat burn, lose weight, and boost energy naturally. What are my call to actions? One, take a quiz. Two, I'm convinced I want to buy now. That's the entire homepage of their website. I promise you they got capital and they paid a bunch of good people to build this website for them. They did not make this up on a Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Yes, Andrew. Oh, proof of concept right there on the second panel, guys. I do not make this shit up. Hey, we are credible. You can trust us. This is not some puffy new device you're going to spend $150 on that isn't going to work. Now look at everything else. So clear. It starts with the breath. It's possible. The science isn't new, but the technology is. Ooh, I'm interested. Oh, here's some smart stuff. Probably never going to get that far. I was sold up on the top line. Here are client testimonials, smart people. I want to be these people. Absolutely. The gold standard market position, new, better, awesome. Track your metabolism. Now we get into like how it actually works. Customize, like how far did I go to get into the what and the how? And by the way, were you not sold or not sold before I ever got there?
What's interesting about this is that the hero image, the opening yeah. panel, doesn't have a picture, a stock photo nope. of a 49-year-old woman, which nope. which we've been conditioned to do.
Yeah. Now there's lots of photos throughout, loads and loads. Now, again, you guys don't have quote a device. It could be a picture of your beautiful one-page financial plan at the homepage of your website, right? There's so many things that we can put there that we're just really terrified to, right? Look, a million breasts around the world. What if you had something like this with pictures of your clients and it said, right, 172 lives served. Awesome sauce, right? 102 entrepreneurs, you know, found their freedom. 100, you know, Gen Xers growing into their confident future. Like it's not, and I say this with all, like it's not complicated. The rules are pretty straightforward. So imagine if you did a website using a template like this, it would be so cool, right? Like, hey, take control of your financial life. You know, every year we're going to meet, you know, we're going to do blah, blah, blah to make sure that you stay on track, right? Picture of your little plan here. Hey, we're going to meet with you quarterly. Da, 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 da. We're going to do, here's a picture of your process, whatever that, like they're giving you such succinct information, but it feels like a story that for me, that resonates with me. I was like, oh, I got to find out what, like I click on all of it because when everyone does good marketing, I want to find out. But I was like, dang, I think I might want to buy one of these things. Because I'm all about performance hacking. Like they so target marketed this thing. And I promise you, I will now, until I buy one of these things, these ads will pop up on my YouTube beyond everything else that I see because they know that I'm interested because I spent a little bit of time here. And then all they have is benefits and support. I know him, by the way. He's really cool. I know his girlfriend. So what if you just had the key factor in your success is smart financial planning? Like, what if that's all it said? The key factor in your retirement success is smart financial planning. Holy shit, that is right there marketable. Boom, front page of your website. Well, now what did I just lay the line on, Andrew? Well, we do smart financial planning. And if I don't look further, I might be really messing it up. I am compelled to keep looking. And then you've got cool stuff like, hey, we'll do a plan. We'll do retirement planning. But notice again, it's not what they're, the how. They're not spinning how, are they telling me how this thing works at all? Do they tell me anywhere how this thing works? High level, yes. Low level, no. So again, I know that it would like flip most of you out. And again, you're probably not going to do a dark black one for most of your clients, but imagine if you made your website this clear, this concise, and this compelling, because all it's saying is, do you want what we have? Enough proof of concept to go, do you want to have a conversation so I can show you how I deliver all this awesome sauce? We put everything in the website. because we think they're going to read it like an academic class in university, assess all of our awesomeness and be like, God dang, I got to hire Edwin. He's brilliant. Man, that process was world changing. No, not going to happen. People make their decisions based on feeling. Does the front page grab me? Am I going to go to the second panel? Is that compelling enough that I'm going to either hit the call to action or scroll down? If I scroll down, I'm interested, right? So what's the data that you're going to share with me in that exact spot to make sure that you use that interest to get me to the call to action, ideally, so that if nothing else, I get your email. So I love those things because they're super fun examples everywhere I go, restaurants, YouTube. I'm always like, oh my God, great brand, awful brand. But that I thought was a really, I was sitting there yesterday, I'm like, oh my God, I can talk about this tomorrow because it's so potent. Whether you like it or not is not the point. And I hope you all are catching that. What's the point? That is a dang sharp knife. It's a sharp knife. Is your brand that sharp? Or are we doing knowledgeable and caring and experience with this many words? By the time we get to the third line, our brain literally skims like every fifth word because we just can't pay that much attention. You do it. How many of you diligently read every page and panel? Some of you do, but not most of you. We skim and we go, ping. Radar, is it working? Is it working? Is your brain is constantly triangulating everything and going, do I take the next step? That's all a website is. Do I take the next step? Has Mary, has Andrew, has Bob created a clear enough brand calling that I go, whatever that is, I think I want some. I need to learn more. Or actually, that sounds great, but it is 100% not for me. And I'm not going to borrow Mary or I'm not going to bug Mary or Teresa or Jeb with that phone call. Just not the right fit. So hopefully that's a good example to like how you can really, again, it's a really sexy example. Obviously it's a product, but those core lessons, if you go back and look at it, are 100% solid. And if you went through your website and you had that limited space so that you had to hone the message to the why first, right? Then the what, and then a teeny bit of the how, what would be different about your website? So that was fun. All right, Danny, does that, let's see, did that help a little bit? Whoever, that was Danny, David.
No, that was me, that did help a lot.
Oh, good, Teresa. Yeah, the next one's from Danny. Danny, I have a face group with 2000 members that I started 5 years ago. I've pasted content, but I haven't booked prospects. I'm not sure what to do with it. All right, so how many of you have heard me say consistency compounds? How many of you have ever gone on a date with someone that you really liked? And if you like them, do you like date them again? Like, do you try to date them again the next week? And the next week? Or do you like, I'll take 3 months off and then I'll show up and just hope that you want to go out with me again? Be like, bing, dang, I'm on the door. Like, oh, it's been so amazing. No. So all digital marketing is about consistency. Consistency compounds. And when you start, it will without question feel like nobody's listening. Period. And you simply have to put on your big boy and girl pants and get okay with that. It doesn't mean you do it for 10 years, right? You've got to check your data, refine and hone. But over 1, 2, 3 years, that 3-year runway that we talk about, you should start building an audience, but it has to be consistent. So we talked about this in the branding session at retreat. The secrets to marketing success are in the back of your shampoo bottle. Apply small concentrated dose, lather, rinse, repeat. So the biggest mistake we make with marketing is we don't do it consistently, or we do it hit and miss, or we go, hey, I did it once and it didn't work. And that's the hard part, which is, so one, Danny, if you're going to nurture an audience, it's like a girl you want to marry. You are going to have to show up consistently or she's not going to believe that you mean it. So the question is for that group, what's the right cadence? Is it a daily, just a quick, like I'm always on social with a little thought. It's like a quick thing. Right. And then there's very specific, like, hey, we're going to post this. We're going to do some stuff. Hey, every week, like we just started the Mojo. So that's now on the LinkedIn newsletter, right? So what is the strategy for nurturing that audience, just like a COI or a prospect? What are the topics, right? So this is where you want to stack and repurpose all your marketing. What are you doing elsewhere that you can pull in. Hey, we did a podcast. Here's a 2-minute clip and an article. Hopefully it will be helpful. So when you're nurture marketing communities, you're building trust, equity, and credibility. Do I have permission to make an offer at some point? And when we ask, when we extend the offer before we hit the credibility, we're not consistent, we don't tend to get a lot of traction in those communities. So Danny, when you think about like, how have you showed up in that community? Has it been consistent? Have you had a clear position? And have you built, like nurtured that and then given people a very clear offer or call to action?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's my question was more, I understand that you gotta be consistent and in content, and then you could ask for, maybe have a webinar, Q&A sessions, I get that. But my question is more, you know, as I develop my marketing strategy, overall marketing strategy, where does this group fit in there? Is it a place where maybe I have someone that comes to my website, they provide an email address, and in some of the follow-up emails say, hey, also, if you're not ready to schedule an appointment yet, go join our group. We answer lots of questions there, blah, blah, blah. Like, I guess that's what I'm trying to find out. Where's it fit?
Yeah. So that would be one of your, right? Think about your sales funnel. And when they come in, they, you know, whatever it is, it's, hey, if you'd like information here, we have, like, I would have, right? Like how you can take action on this information. You can download, you can call us. Hey, we have a community dedicated, right, to supporting, you know, financial confidence or whatever your brand is in this community. Mm-hmm. So I would, one, make sure that you're promoting that. And then two, make sure that what you're doing in the community is intentional. It's a lead gen. And yes, a community is a community, but you want to look at it through the lens of how am I nurturing it? What's my system for showing up? What's my content plan for showing up? I call it personal track. Like I am going to pop in once a day, twice a day, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like engagement really matters on social.
Sure.
Like you need to go in, look at people's posts, comment on them, do posts. When people comment on yours, you got to comment on everything back. Like,
no, my question is more is it worth having something like this versus just capturing email addresses the more traditional way and sending out, you know, via lead magnets or webinars and campaigns? Because this is going to take a lot of effort and time. And I don't know whether there's a lot, you know, I have a $1 million minimum AUM. I don't know how many viable prospects live in there. And if I'm going to be spending a lot of time, I don't want to book a bunch of meetings that are with unqualified prospects also. So I'm trying to figure out exactly how, is this worth keeping and mining, and what's the best way to do that, right? Versus other ways to capture, prospects.
Yes. So one, communities can be an incredible way because they come to trust you and like you. Right. So the question is, one, are we showing up in that consistent, credible way with consistent value drips, right? Hey, here's the, and so we want to look at those very specifically. What kind of traction are you getting there? And then how are you, you have to have a conversion strategy. Mm-hmm. You cannot just say to people, I show up and assume that they're going to take that extra leap of clicking the button. Some of them will, but the research shows that goes a lot, the numbers go way higher when you put something, we call it the offer. When you put an offer in front of them. Is the offer a free cold call? Is the offer a financial assessment? So that's in a nurture community like this, Danny, we'd want to build like a mini campaign. So we'd want to look at the data that you have. Like, have you gotten any leads from it? How consistent have you been? For the most part, you're going to be repurposing content here. So anything else you do anywhere, it's going to be just shooting it over to this. So I wouldn't suggest that this has to be a lot of time. You might pop into the community, right? You might just have a 15-minute block on your calendar in the middle of each day where you pop into that community, do a quick post, and then, you know, twice a week or once a week on just a very consistent schedule, you might have something that's substantive versus personal. Like, here's a video. Videos are great, by the way, because they build connection and community much quicker than emails. So I'd build out a campaign that says, hey, I'm going to post a video a week with a resource, right? Because, hey, I'll build that connection a little bit faster. Or, hey, I hate video, I'm working on it. I'll start with the resources and I'll build up to the video. But you're really trying to build trust equity as quickly as possible. For you, I wouldn't give up on it until you've really gotten clear that you've pulled all the levers to really make the most of it. Because once a community likes you and you put out an offer, they'll simply, some percentage of them will automatically always take you up on it. And so the question is, can we get a big enough community? Can we nurture them in the right way? Can we get an offer? And then for Danny and the rest of you, it's how much is that? How much of my time, money, and capital is that going to take relative to something else? So a lot of you have things that you're doing that are not producing at the level that you want yet. And if you give up on them, my experience is, until you've gone through a thoughtful, intentional evaluation process, what have I done? What's the data tell me? Have I maximized it? The odds are overwhelming that you're giving up before you've really determined if that's going to be a good lead gen strategy for you. We just get busy and we don't tend to do that. So Danny, to answer that question legitimately, I would need data on this strategy and the other strategies. How many people are coming to the website? How many, you know, how many interactions are we having on Facebook? What are those other lead gen strategies doing? And then you want to look at that in the aggregate and then say, where's my business coming from now? Where do I think I want to drive business in the future? And if you're doing too many things, we might just say, hey, look, they could all be awesome. We got to go from 5 to 2. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the data and or our instincts and pick the two that are most compelling to us. So if that answers the question, like, just make sure you're not doing too much, because if you're doing 5 things, you're going to have to spread yourself really thin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Post on Triber. Let me know a little bit more specifically what you're doing, or if you've got that data and we can talk through it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You guys, marketing is always about time, energy, and capital. Where are you going to invest it? And so we tend to do a lot of efforting or not a lot of efforting. What I mean by that is I've done some stuff over here, but I haven't really done it with the intentional, disciplined approach that we talk about. I haven't looked at the data. I haven't really refined the craft. I haven't tweaked it and checked it and really made sure I'm doing everything I can to pull the levers. And we want the shiny thing to work. So that's not directed at Danny, by the way. This is just human nature. We're like, oh, let's just do this thing over here because it's new and it's shiny. And quite honestly, we haven't met failure yet, so it feels better. And so with marketing, guys, I wish I could tell you that you just start something and it's magic and it works. Right? Those little pop, what are those little pop fizz, you know, pop rocks you put in your mouth? You just pop them and it's like, psh, it's amazing. Marketing is a bit of art and a whole lot of science. It is about systems. It is about the data. That is not changing, by the way. It is becoming increasingly that way. So if you were to do a lot of COI work, obviously a lot more organic, but you can still look at how many emails are going out to your COIs, how many of them are opening those emails, right? If you're doing educational campaigns and videos, how long are they opening them? How long are they watching them? What level of referrals do you have relative to that? When you step it up, do the referrals increase? When you do events, do the referrals increase? So if you were going to look at data through the lens of really cool art, 10, 20%, and lots of really awesome data, 80%, would you look at your marketing differently? So we love to talk about the storytelling because it's so powerful and potent at getting people to come. And the work at that point is then putting them through some kind of a lead gen / sales funnel via lead gens or blogs or podcasts and websites where they not only come, but it's a catalyst to clarify, right, who is a good fit for us and who's not, so that we can start to really move the needle on those conversion numbers. Even for COIs, we track all that data. How many COIs do I have? How many communications and touch points went out to them this quarter? How many were personal? How many were systematized? How many phone calls do we get? How many people became clients? What level of assets do we get? And you can look at that data. By the way, you can track all that in a success shifter really easily. I know, because that's how I started. Like, I just put it all in that success shifter and tracked it month after month. And with that data, you will surface a vast amount of information that tells you what's working and what's not working. And all we have to do, if we're honest, is get calm enough and not busy enough in the midst of everything else to sit in that space, look at the data and say, what's it telling me? Is my knife sharp? Is my knife dull? Do I need to look at my website through the lens of, like, let's look at the data and see if this thing is working. And so that's what we hope we can help you guys bring to marketing, is we want to give you the sexy and the sizzle and the art and the fun and the, right, the gooey stuff. But what makes marketing work beyond telling a story people want to hear is, how do you use that data and all of your marketing platforms to create conversion? That is 100% what it's about. Does that help a little bit, Danny? The rest of you, does that help a little bit? Great. And Danny, if you have follow-up questions around that, send me the data and let's talk through it. Ella, I want to take 6 months off next year from maternity leave, but I want to wrap up my marketing efforts. So how do I do that? Ella, where are you? That is a fabulous question.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm going to open this up to the community because you're all really smart people. What advice would you give Ella as she thinks about taking time off without sacrificing keeping that marketing engine going?
Bring on a junior advisor.
Okay, so there's one idea. What else? If that junior advisor is a marketing person, right? That is that. So is it service or marketing, Ella?
I think the marketing is bringing people on, but if I'm on maternity leave, I'm planning to not have people come on for, you know, or new clients for 3 to 6 months.
So you want to ramp up the marketing, but not necessarily the sales process lead gen?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's it. Because I would put in, a wait list. And so I got excited after the conference and I was like, I'm going to do all these million things. And then now I'm like, wait, maybe not.
Well, you may do them all. It's in what order of priority you might attack them. So one, all the standards up, right? Whether it's blogging or podcasts or anything, all of those leads, it's about what channels you're going to choose to drive the lead gen. And then for you, one, I'd make sure the website's really clear and compelling. Two, I would have an online sales funnel because that is the shortest distance between, like that's your filter without having to be there. Mm-hmm. And then that filter can basically say, hey, we think we'd be a great fit. And I happen to be on maternity leave. So, you know, here's a waiting list. We'll be happy to work with you. Adam, I just saw that Adam's here. I didn't realize you're on. Adam and I had this conversation, a couple of years ago. And if they don't want to wait, then they don't want to wait. But that doesn't negate the fact that you don't have time to work with them. Like there's no magic button unless you want to work at midnight or on maternity leave. So it's about how do you craft that message so that it really tells the story in a way that works for you. But that's online sales funnel. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, we did have before retreat because the next option for triage calls for me was like the first week of December. And I think it was like 3 or 4 prospects reached out in the course of 1 week. They're like, is he really not able to see prospects? Can I really not get in until December? And it was like, they'll wait. Now, admittedly, just because of growth plans for the firm, we ended up opening up 1 week. I think it's the first or second week of November for that call, but they're still going to wait 8 weeks. So people will wait for quality advice and stand by that.
And if they can't, hi, Adam, nice to see you. I didn't realize you were joining. Welcome to jump in anytime.
Full disclosure, I had camera and audio off because I had wolfed out lunch in between appointments. I had previous ones.
No worries. I didn't know you were there. I was like, oh, there's Adam.
That's right.
This is a mindset conversation. And again, you know, whether it's maternity leave or Adam is at capacity, our brains are like, you got to find a way. I'm like, why? Like at the end of the day, there's a certain amount of you only have so much, right? If time is a bucket, there is genuinely only so much of it as we have. And we keep trying to expand the bucket instead of just getting really clear about what we put in the bucket. And we're so worried about what we lose. And that's what Ella's brain is telling her. The clients you're going to lose. You know what her brain is not telling her? You're just fine, girl. We're going to put a sales funnel in place. The people who are willing to wait are going to wait, and you're going to have an amazing 6 months with your child, and you're going to kick it into gear after that, and it's going to be just fine. Our brains don't typically start there. Adam, Adam's now done a waiting list, 3 or 4 times you've had to turn it on? Like he was like, can I really say? I feel like, yes, we really can.
We did it we do our waiting list now differently in the sense that there's not really a waiting list. It's just like we'll do this looking at my calendar, the week of the 29th, so after Thanksgiving, as a firm, we'll sit down and map out all of 2023. And during that time, I think this year we had 1, 2, 3, 4, let's call it 9 or 10 weeks throughout the year in which I do triage calls. And so just as we talk about surging client appointments, I surge podcast recordings, I surge triage calls, I surge one-page plan presentations, we surge on, like everything in your practice can be quote unquote surged. We're doing the same. So that essentially is our wait list. Our wait list is just us controlling our calendar to the extent that this is when we want to be in onboarding mode. This is when we want to be in podcast mode. This is when I'm going to be with Limitless. So nothing is going to happen during that time. This is when I'm speaking at optometry conferences. So nothing that I'm doing, that means that's time for Kathy and John to be onboarding. So what makes a lot of this question in all of us from a time management standpoint easier is when you just think of your calendar like an orchestra. who are the key components in your orchestra? Well, we have client reviews, that's your violin, right? Whatever metaphor you want to use. But then it's just a matter of laying out that calendar. Think of it as an orchestra, think of it as a chessboard, however you want to think about that. You have a finite number of resources, i.e. days on the calendar, after you block out your time. And then it's just a matter of positioning those chess pieces so that the symphony, I'm intertwining two metaphors here, but hopefully it makes sense, that they are independently collaborating with one another relative to your time out of the office and the client and prospect experience. So that's how we created our wait list, not so much of saying the next, like Acuity is our wait list. You want to talk with Adam? Great. The next opening on our wait list, quote unquote, is the first week of November. That's the way in which we've done it for the past, this is, I think, is if my memory serves me right, this is the second year. And short of every now and then getting an email like, next time is 3 months from now. And truth be told, somehow there was a little glitch in Acuity where I should have had that week in November opened up. I don't know what happened, but it shouldn't have been that long. But you just can't book a triage call whenever you want.
And I really want to echo that. Notice the confidence with which Adam communicates that. That confidence comes from the experience of having lived through it. The first time we had that conversation, it wasn't quite as confident. And it was, hey, we'll put up a message and let's frame the languaging so it comes off in the best possible way. Like, we're awesome, not we're haughty. And then from there, Adam was able to realize that people would not die, that a good number of them would wait. And then ultimately was able to tweak it and refine it so that I think, right, just doesn't even now, it's just, this is when we next have availability. If people have issues, they'll reach out. So notice that as he got more and more clear and confident that this was not going to be the end of his practice as he knew it, that he's been able to ramp it up to now, what is what, 6, 8, 9 weeks of waiting time. Is it possible that he's losing people? Absolutely. What does it matter if he doesn't have the capacity to serve them? This is where we get into that, oh my God, I have to take them because, and then we're working at 11 o'clock at night going, oh, what was I thinking? So just understand, like, however you do it, it's a function of getting clear that you only have so much time and capacity. How big is the bucket? What space do you have left? And then who do you want to put in that bucket? And ultimately how, right, lead gen and marketing is all about how we get them there. So Ella, it may be that some people don't want to wait for you on maternity leave. And that's okay, because it means their needs are so pressing that that's where they are. But the people who are right for you are going to be right there in the right time and space. And they're going to be the kind of people that are like, oh, how awesome. Christy Rains, we'll put it in the next Inbox Insight, just had her baby. If anyone, baby Reed, he's so beautiful. He's amazing. She has amazing pictures. Nice letter to all her clients. Like, hey, I'm out for the next blah, blah, blah. And hope y'all are good. And her clients are going to be, I know, like, just wildly supportive, because that's the nature of it. And anyone that doesn't want to wait for Christy is not someone that Christy wants to work with, because she's all about family. And anyone who wants to work with her is going to be like, yes, we love what you're talking about. We want to wait and have that conversation. So this is where confidence is really what it boils down to. We know there's a 50 to 150 clients for all of you to serve. It's, can we put that marketing lead gen, right? Our sales lead gen and our marketing in place to drive people to where they want to have conversations with us, where they can get curious and then have conversations with us. So I know we covered a ton at retreat. The team is working very hard this week to get all those lessons updated and posted the website. We'll share information on all the partners that came. If you guys, again, want to get in touch with any of them, please feel free to reach out to us if you'd like us to make a personal introduction. It was an incredible retreat. The feedback that we got was overwhelming. Thank you guys. I was just reading all of your messages from the beginning of this call. I want you to know that I have made screenshots of them and they're going into my kudos folder. You know how we talked about that? So someday I'm going to be like, damn it. Be like, look at all these amazing, just really at testaments to the work that we're doing here together. So I was just reading them all. Thank you guys so much for your love and support. And I hope that you feel it from us at 10X Spades. I know I'm committed. Adam and Tiffany and Jared just love working with you guys, Michaels and the Carls and the FICOMs and everyone else does, because I think this is a community of people that are growth minded that really want to elevate themselves and each other. And so I hope today's call helped you guys to do that. Join us in Inbox, join us on Tribe if you've got any questions. Liz is doing her mindset calls every Friday. So if you get stuck, if you need clarity, if you're not sure where to go next, please feel free to go in there and Liz will get you help. And if I need to jump in, we're happy to do that as well. Adam and I and the rest of the coaches will be on Tribe. So please feel free to reach out. With that, I want you all to put in chat, just so we can really lock in today, what was your biggest takeaway from today's call? Let's see what we've got here. Prioritizing time. Don't need a stock photo of another one more person on my website. Looking at the Lumen website, search everything. Websites are essential. Clarity, consistency compounds. All right. So keep on track with the niche. Don't give up. There's this weird thing. Like you don't want to quit on your marketing, but you also need to know when to pivot, if that makes sense. I had to tell my kids, like, never, ever, ever quit. And then one day I had to go, actually, you might want to learn how to pivot. Like you don't want to just drive something into ground. That's why the data becomes so valuable, because with marketing, we like to say around here, there was a sign on the desk of the CEO of Sara Lee. Anyone's old enough to remember Sara Lee, the baking company. Mm-hmm. And the sign on the CEO's desk said, "In God we trust, all others bring data." I love vision. I love messaging. I love strategy. I love branding. Do you know what I love even more than that? Data that tells me it's working. Because if the data doesn't tell me it's working, it ain't working, no matter how much I like it. So that's our job. As we look at all of the opportunities from retreat, can we get clear? What do we need? What's working? What's not working? What's going to go on our plan as we look at growth over the next year and 3 years? Where are we going to invest our time, energy, and capital? And then next quarter and next year, what's the roadmap that I want to put in place to optimize my sales, my marketing, and ultimately my growth engine? So Adam, thanks for joining us. I'm sorry I didn't see you earlier. You should just jump in. And you guys, again, on Tribe or in inbox, please let us know what questions you have. And with that, go forth and grow.